Let's do it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How good it is. It's African American Empowerment, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rohn, and a crew coming to you live. We're going to be talking about the East today, culture, education, and it's Black History Month, y'all. Let's go do this thing right. Come on with me. Come on. Hey. Welcome, welcome, welcome one, welcome all to the Empowerment Hour. Well, it's going to be an hour and a half today of 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for African Americans, people of color, you, me, the ones who are of African descent. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the empowerment of the African American community, Black community, colored community, Negro community, whatever you want to call us. We are empowered. We're working on ourselves. And it is our job and our mission to do the work of working on ourselves. We have to be honest with ourselves. And the truth is if we don't develop and design and create institutions that define our own reality, we won't move forward. Oh, we're building a nation. We're feeding everybody else. We're making everybody else rich. We're working on producing for other people. But when? I dare ask, when will we start producing for ourselves? And so today we're going to talk about the tenets of the NAAEA. Before we get into our show, we got an excellent show for you today. Call a friend, a neighbor, family member, somebody, 845-277-9250. I want you to ask some questions about the organization that we're going to talk about. And then we're going to talk about Black history as well. Here's the tenets of the NAAEA. It's the peace concept. And guess what? As people of color from the shores of Africa to America, we have had some issues, and we've gone through a whole lot, but now these concepts will help us and more develop ourselves. We need, as a group, group economics, group politics, a political agenda that speaks to our needs and address the needs directly where we are. Your politics matter wherever you are if you're going to live in this country. What is the political agenda, right, for African Americans, local, state, national? We need agendas that get resources, again, that create institutions that define our own reality and to help bring forth a better, and we need it. We need resources. That takes us to economics. We need an economic agenda. I'm spelling peace. We need an economic agenda that speaks to how we're going to utilize capitalism to get us across, because we're making it for everybody else, but it's time to give back. We got to make those resources turn over for us now and that money circulate in our communities where we're creating businesses and institutions that define our own reality to educate, develop, and train our young people, our communities, that we can stop starving and begin to strive. I call it strival for survival. That's over with. We have to be able to do the work of working on ourselves. What do I mean? We have to understand capitalism and how money works and not just run out and spend every dime that we have supporting another economy. Just sorry, we're going to have to stop doing that. We're going to have to start focusing on group economics and how to manage money, how to save it, how to invest it, and how to make it work for you, period. The next is A. It's the A. That's athletics, health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, mental health, physical health, emotional health, and spiritual health. We need it. Oh, boy, do we need it. We need to take care of ourselves. We got to get off the medications. We do. We're going to have to start eating well, healthy foods that fit our body, our genetics, and our culture. And we're going to also have to take care of ourselves mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, socially, and culturally. And we're going to have to do that for our children. And we're going to have to de-stress. We're going to have programs in place to help us do that. Now, it's the other C in the concept, which is culture. We need culture, relevant cultural programs like this one. This cultural program helps us to have boundaries that we can teach, train, and develop our young people that they can feel good about who they are. Doesn't matter how old you are, you can give back. You can help. You can invest. You can reinvest. You can give to us so we can give to our young people. But also how to develop families, how to develop strong, nurturing, caring, loving families, loving fathers, loving mothers that nurture and develop our children so they can go out and compete. And lastly, it's the comprehensive education, the E, and the peace concept. We need a comprehensive education program that develops us, that have early learning programs where our kids learn how to read early and they're ready. Chin up, chest out, ready to perform, ready to compete, and feeling really good about themselves because they know who they are. And that's the comprehensive education. So what we want to do is we want to use these concepts and these tools to develop ourselves. And now it's from my brother Stan Macklin. It's a Stan Macklin moment. Hang in there, y'all.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, man, we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
You know, Stan is so right. He is. We're going to have to create those institutions, and we're going to have to support them. We're going to have to fund them. And we're going to have to make those institutions work for us. But it's up to us. It is really up to us to do that work. It's up to us to define our own reality and make it work for us. Now, without further delay, it's our Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa moment. I'm bringing Brother George in right now. Y'all know how I'm going to do it. Bring it, Brother George. Oh, yeah. That's right. What the deal is, we ain't going nowhere. Hey, Brother George, how are you?
I'm doing great, brother. How are you?
I'm wonderful, wonderful. I'm excited about Black History Month and excited about learning about the East. But first, what do you have with the Willie Lynch Kwanzaa segment?
Well, today's Kwanzaa principle I'm going to use is Dima, which I think is the perfect segue into today's conversation with the brothers and sisters. Collective work and responsibility to build and maintain our community together and make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems and solve them together, which I think what they accomplished in New York was, in Brooklyn, New York, was really, you know, a collective work, and it was definitely a problem solver. Now, today I'm going to take a book that Brother Maliki said that they used as a guide when they first started, you know, with their program, and that's Malcolm X on Afro-American History. I'm going to read a segment from this book because Malcolm used to dwell on this. Just as a tree without roots is dead, a people without history or cultural roots also become a dead people. And when you look at us, those of us who are called Negroes, we're called Negroes. That's because we are like a dead people. We have nothing to identify ourselves as part of the human family. You know, take a tree. You can tell what kind of tree it is by looking at the leaves. If the leaves are gone, if the bark is gone, then you can't tell what kind of tree it is. But when you find a tree with the leaves gone and the bark gone, everything gone, you can call that a what? It's a stump. And you can't identify a stump as easily as you can identify a tree. And this is the position that you and I are in here in America. Formerly, we could be identified by the names we wore when we came here. When we were first brought here, we had different names. When we were first brought here, we had different languages. And these names and this language identified the culture that we were brought from.
the land that we were brought from. In identifying that, we were able to point towards what we had produced in our network. But once our names were taken and our language was taken and our identity was destroyed and our roots were cut off with no history, we became like a stump, something dead, a twig over here in the Western Hemisphere. Anybody could step on us, trample us, and burn us, and there would be nothing that we could do about it. And I think we get enough with that. Now, this is one of the, I think this is one of the most quoted statements out of this book. The study of history. Of our studies, history is the best qualified to reward our research. And when we see that you've got problems, all you have to do is examine the historical method used all over the world by others who have problems similar to yours. Once you see how they got their straight, then you know how to get yours straight. Malcolm X. I really think that both of those statements are great segues into the conversation that we're going to have today. You know, so, brother, I also, you know, like to remind the people that I like to read the Willie Lynch segment every other week because it gives you books that you can buy and are good reading. And so I just take some quotes out of them just to justify, you know, the suggestion of them being read. So it's back to you, Brother Marvin.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. Great, great, great job. It's up to us. It's up to us, to our beautiful people. We're going to have to do the work of reclaiming our heritage, reclaiming our greatness, reclaiming our culture, reclaiming our mind, reclaiming our great place and presence on this planet. Who will step up to the plate to say, I will do the work. I will commit to working on myself. I will commit to working on my family and my community. Especially us. We need it. We need so much support and assistance and love for each other. We got to start loving ourselves again. And it begins right now. We have to define what those things are. We have to attack negativity, hatred, disruption. We have to do that. We're going to have to create a new foundation for family, a new foundation for trust, building love and community again, no matter where we are. Who's going to do the work? Who's going to make the sacrifice? Or we will continue to settle for them and they, talking about ourselves. We have to recognize our pure greatness, the potential that we have. We've overcome so many obstacles and challenges, and it is our just due that we represent those who came before us with our excellence and our greatness. And it is because we are still here that we all should recognize on this day that we celebrate Black history at the NAAEA, that we are worth it. We are worthy. We are beautiful. We are gifted. We are talented. Give us the ball. Give us the computer. Give us technology. Give us information. Give us resources. Or give us little to nothing, and we're going to do something with it. It is disrupting the dysfunction in our lives that we must do now. And we must give back completely and holistically so that we can preserve a future, preserving the next generation and getting us ready to move forward, proud, collective, and having a collective consciousness that says we're back, we're great, and we're committed to a cause and to change. I'm going to the 42 Laws of Maya, and then I'm bringing Brother Maliki Brother Raphael and Sister Maliki in to the show. Thank y'all for joining us. Call a friend.
The 42 Laws of Ma'at. I have not committed sin. I have not committed robbery with violence. I have not stolen. I have not slain men or women. I have not stolen food. I have not swindled offerings. I have not stolen from God. I have not told lies. I have not carried away food. I have not cursed. I have not closed my ears to truth. I have not committed adultery. I have not made anyone cry. I have not felt sorrow without reason. I have not assaulted anyone. I am not deceitful. I have not stolen anyone's land. I have not been an eavesdropper. I have not falsely accused anyone. I have not been angry without reason. I have not seduced anyone's wife. I have not polluted myself. I have not terrorized anyone. I have not disobeyed the law. I have not been excessively angry. I have not cursed God. I have not behaved with violence. I have not caused disruption of peace. I have not acted hastily or without thought. I have not overstepped my boundaries of concern. I have not exaggerated my words when speaking. I have not worked evil. I have not used evil thoughts, words, or deeds. I have not polluted the water. I have not spoken angrily or arrogantly. I have not cursed anyone in thought, words, or deeds. I have not placed myself on a pedestal. I have not stolen what belongs to God. I have not stolen from or disrespected the deceased. I have not taken food from a child. I have not acted with insolence. I have not destroyed property belonging to God. The 42 Laws of Ma'at.
There it is. Practice. Just take one. And just work on one in your life. And if you would just continue to build individually, one at a time, we can make a difference right where we are. Again, it's a change of mindset and a change of heart. I'm bringing Brother Maliki in. Brother Maliki. Maliki, I'm sorry. Didn't come out right. Let's bring him in. Brother George, are you there?
Yes, sir.
I'm here, brother.
All right,
I'm here.
Brother Maliki.
Peace and blessing.
Welcome to the
Peace
show.
And blessing.
How are you?
We're good, brother. We're good. And what a wonderful introduction to the show. Wonderful.
All right. Thank you, sir. We have so much to talk about. So, you know, it's Black History Month. It's culture and education. But we're going to talk about the East, right? An organization that you were a part of, an organization that gave you a foundation for your future and the career that you have. So we'll talk about all of that. And then we'll bring in Brother Raphael and Sister Malika
as
well. Malika. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Malika.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to see if I can get Brother Raphael in the line now. But while I'm finding him, can you tell us a little bit about you and how you got started with the East?
Well, brother, I think in the previous show that we did before, we talked about the very beginning. But, of course, you know, myself and the other brothers and sisters, at the age of 14, 15, we were in junior high school, and then involved in high school, we start to organize in every high school in New York City and create a number of demands, which included Black history being taught, parents having access to 24 hours to the school to come and see any class, what was going on with the students, you know, several other demands. We had about 15 of them, but those were just a few. And so organizing in the high schools, we created the African American Student Association, And as we begin to organize, we begin to realize that we needed our own. And so in needing our own, as we were involved in all of the New York City summer programs, making $38 a week, which is very important because now we could buy our own clothes. We didn't have to bug our parents for anything. We could buy our own clothes, get the things we needed for school, and that was very important. So now we said we need our own, and we took some of that money and other resources and put it together and start to look for a building. We finally found this building on 10 Claver Place in Brooklyn off of Fulton and Franklin, Claver Place. And we got the building by pulling all our resources together. We cleaned it out. It used to be a small factory. We cleaned it out. As Raphael would say, we had a hole in the floor. And we cleaned it out with two big dumpsters full of stuff that we filled. As we cleaned the building out, we began to start to develop what we wanted the building to be. Previously, the building was called Studio O for Artists, and now we said, well, we know that the culture of our people is very important, so we know the music and the arts would be a major part, and then we needed our own educational system because we were struggling in the New York City school system, and we saw how they gave the community control of the schools a district, some districts of the schools, but then they wanted to take it back when they saw it was working very well for the community. So we said we need our own. So now we're in the building. We're cleaning it out. Now Brother G2 Weusi, who was the head of creating the African American Students Association and who was also involved with Albert Vann, who had the African American Teachers Association, now got together and said, not only do we need the cultural aspect, which was the music, lecture series, other aspects, now we're going to start the school. And many of those black teachers that were involved in the African Teachers Association came together to start to create classes and different instructional parts for the students. So now the place is functioning. Officially opened in December of 69. School opened in July, I think they started, in 1970, not necessarily July. September would be the school year, 70. And so now the building is functioning, and now the main thing was to start to give responsibilities to these students. And this is very important because a lot of people don't know the history of the East, which now all of these things I'm telling you that we're creating, we are 14 and 15 years old, okay? We're not 20, we're not 30. This is being started as teenagers in the community. We also realized that the most important aspect was responsibility and sacrifice. Nothing would be accomplished if we wasn't willing to sacrifice the time, many 24 hours a day, you know what I'm saying, and take the responsibility to keep the institution alive and running. You had the music happening every weekend, three, sometimes the whole weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Then you had the school functioning 5 days a week. You know what I'm saying? Then we created the newspaper, Black News. All of this took a lot of responsibility. So we really was young people that were committed and understood that we could not be in the streets just doing any old thing and doing our own thing. We had to do the collective thing.
Okay. All right. That's great. All right. I can't see Brother Raphael right now, but I am going to bring on Sister Malika, right, to the show. Thank you for sharing that part of it. Sister Malika, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
We
welcome to the show.
Can
how are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, fine. Thank you so much. I'm glad that we got through. First of all, I want to say thank you for having such a powerful program. This is definitely necessary and needed. And
thank
I want to just thank you again for giving me this platform as well as my dear brother Maliki for giving me this opportunity. I'm going to follow through with what Maliki finished off with in terms of ASA. They were actually the foundation for the building of the East. Not building necessarily in terms of the brick and mortar, but the building in terms of the foundation of the organization. And I always will give respect, honor, and praise to the ASA, the African Students Association, and the African American Teachers Association, who were the primary founders and foundation for the East organization, which my father, Yusef, and mother, Yusef and Dara Iman, had an integral part in bringing a great landscape of cultural activism to the East. When Brother G2 formed the ASA, formed and developed the Uhura Sasa School, Uhura Sasa Freedom Now School at the East, they wanted to implement certain African-related centered teachings and cultural practices at the East. And all praise is due my mother and father, Yusef and Dara Iman. We came in from actually from Newark. We were working with Amiri Baraka at the time, who was also very much involved with dealing with cultural nationalism through the teachings of Karenger, who gave us Kawaida. Kawaida means tradition and reasoning. And there are certain guidelines and principles that we adhere to in the organization, which is basically based on the Nguza Saba, the seven principles that Kwanzaa is based upon. So we brought, my parents brought that to the East, to the school, basically because D2 wanted the school to have that type of foundation, an African-based centered foundation based on the traditions of Kawaida. And being that my father was also an artist in terms of being in the arts, as an actor and singer, teacher, minister, I mean, just a real Renaissance man, to be honest, he was able to also bring certain spiritual practices and rituals to the East family as well. In terms of the school, he composed and developed the Pledge of Allegiance for the school. One of the songs will praise the red, black, and green, brothers and sisters. We're being redeemed. Open up your eyes and see. We're on our way to being free. He composed a Saba song. Yes. And as well as many other songs. He also did, as a minister, ordained minister, in terms of the East organization itself, he conducted and officiated the initiation ceremonies for the brotherhood and the sisterhood of the East. This is why we feel so bonded together as family. When Maliki called, he's my brother, you know? I mean, maybe not biologically, but spiritually, we all connected because we had this ceremony, and it was a drawing of blood that we all had to... You know,
the initiation,
bind with, that makes us connected. Not, you know, it's philosophically, it's spiritually, it's culturally, it's politically, that the East
like
family
it.
Is connected. And Yusef Iman was instrumental in bringing the ceremony or the initiation of that to the East organization, which was accepted very, very well. And one of the main things, or another main aspect of the East that was brought, that they brought, Yusef and Dara Iman, was the development of the Wayusi Kuwumba group, which was initially my family, consisting of my family and my brothers, We were all in the arts. He had us all busy. And we did a lot of the cultural programming at the East. Every weekend at the East, there was jazz. And Maliki,
right.
He was a man in terms of being the studio engineer, but he's great, great, and some of them are even so well-known and famous nowadays that came to the East for the weekends. The way you see Kawuma Troop would open up for a lot of these great musicians, Rahsaan Roland Kirk and Cyril Saunders, you know, even I have to give acknowledgement and praise and honor to one of our brothers who recently departed and went to the ancestral world is Brother Mtume. Brother Mtume was at the East prior to his commercial success, being with the TV program New York Undercover and doing Juicy Fruit and all of that. Prior to all of that, he was there with us at the East as well. He even recorded at the East two albums. One album was named Kawaiita, and the other album was called Akebulan, Live at the East. And he worked with most of the musicians that the East featured there. You know, Olu Dara, who was Nas' father, Nas the rapper. He was there, Gary Bob, you know, they all came through the East and they loved it. Reggie Workman and Dee Bridgewater, the Bridgewater brothers, you know, they all were there and giving inspiration at really to us as East family members and to help build up what we were doing for the community. And so I just like to, you know, always give praise and respect to what the East was doing. It was a black powerhouse of culture that gave culturally, politically, spiritually to the community. And
Sister Malika,
to be praised. Yes.
Thank you. We're going to talk about culture and education today. I want to bring in Brother Raphael so we can get him a part of it. So we're going to just have a big conversation today to really empower our listeners on what it took to create such a wonderful brotherhood and sisterhood and a community organization. Brother Raphael, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Got a little echo.
Yeah, okay. I had it on too. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Oh, God.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah,
how are you?
Oh, thank you. Just so I don't want you to stop the brother and the sister. Keep going.
Well, we wanted to get you in, right, and you guys could just tell the story. We're going to sit back, right? We'll ask a few questions later. And, again, we're acknowledging our black history, and you all made black history in your own way. So I want you to tell the audience, and you could guys just pass it around however you want to. We'll go back to you, Sister Malika, first, and you tell a little bit about the rest of your story. Then we'll pass it on to the brothers, and we'll talk about the brotherhood and sisterhood of this beautiful East, right, and how you guys coalesced in the community, because we really need what you all did. So you already had a blueprint. So, and also we'll do a little clip on Brother G2 as well. All right, Sister Malika, continue on, please. We got everybody in.
Well, the main thing is that we had the East, due to Brother G2's, Baba G2, where you see vision for the East and Uhura Sasso School, we had a value system of Kawaiita based upon the Nguza Saba, the seven principles. That we all know, Umoja, unity, Kuji Jakalea, self-determination, Ujima, collective work and responsibility, Ujama, cooperative economics, Nia, purpose, Kawumba, creativity, and Imani, faith. This was the value system that the East and the Uhura Sasa was built upon. And it is still recognized today. Today it has become so well known, I believe, on the East Coast, really, through the work of Yusuf Iman. He was like the staunch promoter of Kwanzaa, Kawaida, on this side of the world. And,
yeah.
Of course, Milana had it on the West Coast in California. But, you know, we really brought it out to the community, to everyone. There was numerous, I mean, hundreds of performances that we did based upon this value system in honor of Kawaida and Kwanzaa and cultural empowerment for our people.
Yes. I like that. So let me ask this question, Maliki. Let me just ask this question real quick. So how did you all apply these principles? How did you teach them? How did you get those into the community and into the organization?
Well, brother.
Well, there was a,
go ahead, Maliki.
Oh,
go ahead.
Maliki.
No, go ahead. Well, go ahead, sister. Go ahead.
There were so many different facets of the East that institutions were built. There was the black newspaper, you know. We had a health food store called Kanunawana. There was the bookstore, Akiba Mku. There was the clothing store, African clothing store, Mavazi. And, I mean, all these different facets of the East, it was like we had so many antennas out into the community that it was unavoidable to be to be recognized. So, but black news, and Maliki, you could follow through with this one, was one of the major components. A lot of the brothers and sisters was out in the community selling the black news for a dime, I believe.
Yeah.
And that gave a lot of information on the East and brought a lot of people to the East, as well as the jazz program.
Well, one of the main things was that we was never like sectarian, you know? You know, we never was above the community. We was out talking to all the neighbors always. We was out on the street selling black news. We had the store. Anything that we saw the community needed, we tried to provide it, you see? And that's what it's all about when you're building. You want to talk to people. We was all out in all the churches, okay, all the community organizations. Everybody who came to the East was a Catholic. They could have been Protestant. They could have been a Baptist. They was the Rastas. They was the Black Hebrews. That was known that you could come to the East and you could seek help and you could participate no matter what you were about. The Nation, the Sunnis, you name it. Any religion, any culture anybody had, they could come and be a part of the East. And also what happened was the fact that the word was spreading so fast across the country, okay, that everyone now was contacting the East as to how they could be a part and do what we were doing. So the word went out among the musicians, you got to go see what these young people are doing. The place was so packed every night with the music we were doing that the musicians, they had to come to see it to believe it. It would be so packed.
Wow.
We may have a concert with McCoy Tyner, and in the back was sitting Gil Scott-Heron, okay, saying, let me come and see now. They saying these young people are doing something, and then you didn't have to ask him. He would come to you and say, when would you like for us to perform? You see what I'm saying, brother? So by doing and showing, these
like
are the
that.
Kind of things that we were doing and the sacrifice we were making. We had to secure the building 24 hours a day. We had to protect it. We had to make sure that all the, you know, one part that I start doing, not only did I start doing the sound on the weekend, setting up all the sound equipment for the musicians, but I took over booking the musicians, setting up the contracts with the musicians. Now we're providing employment for the musicians also. So it's not just that we're getting all of the great music from them, but we're providing a service for them also. So it's about organizing. It's about getting in touch with everybody you see in the street, on the corner, live down the corner from you, the store you go, you shop at. Hey, how you doing? What's happening? You need any help? Can we help you? What do you need? This is how you organize and you make contact with the people in the community. And this is what will start an organization.
And I like to add, if I may.
Yes, ma'am.
I like to add that in terms of all that community work we did for the Uhura in Uhura Sasa, there was the African Street Carnival. This carnival was like a fundraiser for the graduates of the Uhura Sasa High School, which I'm a graduate of. But we had the African Street Carnival at that time right there on the block, and Ten Claver Place, right on the block of Ten Claver, and that was huge. It had grew so much that it's now called the International African Arts Festival, which is spearheaded right now,
wow,
which is conducted by Segun Set Shabakam. And it's still going on today, every July 4th weekend, I believe. And people were also impressed with what we were doing, that the East had to even extend itself in terms of food. The East, there was an East catering service. The East Kitchen had some of the most delicious food going on that a lot of people are still talking about it today. And it was healthy food that was served during the jazz programming, during the program, the cultural arts programming that was conducted at the East. And some of the sisters who were responsible for that, you know, a lot of them, Sister Isenga, Sister Khadija, you know, and Mama Lottie Hicks, may she rest in peace. She was like one of the head cooks there at the East Kitchen. And we had our antennas out in the community very strong on every level of, for every basic need for our people.
And see, the whole thing with the street festival starting is that now the community is coming, the block got so crowded that we had to move it to a high school field because now we got vendors coming, want to participate, we're charging them a fee, and now it becomes a very powerful economic tool for the organization, you see?
Yes.
And what people don't know is that now, once it moves to the high school, now you got hundreds of vendors are coming, you see, and wanting to participate. Quiet as is kept, as G2 would say, the big festival in New Orleans, they came and saw what we were doing, and they took it and ran with it. You see what I'm saying? So it affected so many people across the country.
The Essence Festival.
Exactly, exactly. We were out there. I was out there walking around, and there was Stevie walking around, Stevie Wonder, okay? And I stopped him and said, hey, brother, give me your information. We would like for you to come and perform. And he gave it to me. You know what I'm saying? So this is the kind of thing. Also, something very important. When we were cleaning out that building, it was a wonderful sister that was there participating with us. Sister Ayanna Van Zandt was there with us cleaning out that building, and she was at that time an African dancer.
Yeah.
People, I'm giving you the history. That's
yes,
right.
Indeed.
Great African
bad,
dancer.
She was super bad, too.
Yes, yes. So as this culture begin to blossom and bloom, the word is just going out. Chicago, Detroit, you got to go and see what these kids are doing down in Brooklyn, man. And so now if it's going out to the musicians, now, hey, now who you got coming? You got Roy Ayers coming. You got Lonnie Liston Smith. You got Pharoah Sanders. You know what I'm saying? You got Doug and Gene Kahn. We put them on the map. Once they came and performed the piece, now people are buying their records and CDs, you see? So the economics is turning and turning and turning and becoming more successful as it continues to grow.
Okay. Well, let me ask this. I need to bring Brother Raphael in because we haven't heard,
bring him
hadn't
in.
Heard
bring
from him
in.
Yet. And Brother Raphael, I want you to tell us about Brother G2's vision and what you saw that made it so impactful in your life. Tell us about Brother G2, and then we'll go to his clip.
Okay, I met G2. He was my teacher. I was like 10 years old. and we used to call him Watusi Less because he was so big, you know. And when we got back together in high school with the school strike, he was open to bringing in everybody. He wasn't an ideologue. Like so many people get into this, well, I can't deal with you if you eat pork. I can't deal with you if you do this. I can't deal with you if you go to church. No, G2 was inclusive. And let me just put in a little shot for Malika. Yes, I grew up with Iyanla VanZant. Yes, she was a fantastic dancer. Her sister danced with Olatunji at the World Fair. But everybody knows that when Malika Iman danced,
Her and her sister, Malika, also.
I just had to throw that in. You know, I just had to. And no, he was just a visionary. And he was educated. And when I mean educated, he wasn't ignorant in dealing with people. He knew how to deal with people. He knew how to get the best out of people. Being up under him, just watching him, because he was kind of quiet. And you know, he wasn't a bodacious person. He just got things done. And you watched, and I watched him. And when I went, and I, every now and then I'd come back, and we'd sit quietly and talk. And, you know, my nickname was Ray. He said, "Ray, how you doing?" I said, "I'm okay." And he said, "What you doing?" And I would tell him what I'm doing. And he'd give me his blessings. And what I did with what I learned from the East was I took it to the college campus. And I want to put this into perspective. We were such good organizers because, number one, we came from the churches. We knew how to organize from the church. We knew how to talk to people. We came from the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, all of these Jack and Jill, all of these organizations we brought into the East. Came from the Nation of Islam. We brought these in, and the East gave it a name. Like, you know, like collective work and responsibility. Well, if you were in church, you worked. If you were in the Boy Scouts, you worked. If you were in any organization, you worked. But we didn't have a name for it. We didn't have a name for it.
Until we called it Kazi. Kazi was the blackest of all.
The blackest of them all.
Work.
Work. So you weren't sitting around philosophizing. You were out cleaning, doing security, selling papers. You were doing stuff. And this was normal to us because that's what you did in church. That's what you did in the Boy Scouts. That's what you did in neighborhood organizations. The drum and bugle corps from Brooklyn, the track teams. So we were used to doing this, but now we have, as young people, an African center with a name on it. You know. Okay, this is Kazi. This is Kuchi Jakalia. This is Umoja. This is Nia. This is what I've been doing all my life. I've always had faith. You know what I mean? We had a song, This Far by Faith, you know. So it gave us, and this, the old stuff, when I don't say the old stuff, was for our parents. Now this comes along, the Uguzu Saba speaks directly to us with an African twist, if that makes sense. So we were, and the thing is, we were kids. When we used to meet where the African American Teachers Associations used to meet, and then we used to come in the African American Student Association. And I used to think back now. I said we must have been some pain in the behinds. Hearing these teachers having to deal with their students on Saturday. So we got our own. We got our own building. And as I said, each generation has a different vision. Each generation has a different vision, and we just took it. And under the leadership of G2, you can't take. I don't care what anybody says. If it wasn't for G2, there would be nothing there.
And here's the thing: G2 was a person that always had heart. He had heart. If he saw something was not right in the community, he would call everybody together and say, look, we need to organize and have a demonstration down at this location. And, of course,
yes.
It would close down after that, okay? So, and then what was so important he did, he observed all of us like his children. And he would see and talk to you to see what you wanted to do and what he thought you was best at doing. And anything he asked you to do, you would take care of it. Any responsibility in the organization, we all had several responsibilities, including cleaning the bathrooms, okay? So nobody was, you know, above anything. If he said, we're going out down to the corner, we're going to sell Black News, we was down the corner selling Black News. If we said, go down to the health food store, they need some help down there, we was in the health food store getting herb teas and behind the counter and helping, whatever. Go to the bookstore. So brother so-and-so, so-and-so is not going to be in today. We need to go down there and take care of that. Okay? So whatever responsibility was needed, we had the proper attitude. In order to take
let me throw this in. Mayor Lindsay, God rest his soul, the mayor of New York, he used to come and walk through the Black communities to show that he was with us. Right? So he would just pop up in Harlem, walk to 125th Street and get a warm reception, right?
Mm-hmm.
He did that in Brooklyn one time, and G2 said, let's go meet him. We ran him out of Brooklyn. The assemblyman time was Cal Williams. Cal Williams said, Les, call them off. Call them off. Call them off, Les. Call them off. The mayor didn't walk two steps. He jumped back in his little limo and sped away. I'm just saying that this is the power that this man had. This is the power man had. He wanted you to do something, and we did it.
Let's go on over and just hear a little bit from Brother G2, and then we'll get back to the conversation.
Okay.
So we want our community not only equal to the Black students in the public schools, we don't want this to be equal to the best in the country. You see? In other words, we have to set the highest standard for our service, the highest quality. We must make our institutions the best. That's our goal, to be the best, to be excellent.
Turn it up, brother.
As far as I'm concerned, if you don't have the goal of excellence in terms of building an institution, then you shouldn't even get started because you start on the wrong road already.
All right, that's Brother G2 on excellence, right? And from what I'm hearing, you have a beautiful concept, right? And Sister Malika said it so wonderfully when she mentioned the brotherhood and sisterhood and the ceremony. So, Malika, I want to come back to you for a minute, Sister. Can you tell us about the ceremony and then what your take on Brother G2's vision was and how it impacted your life as you moved into adulthood?
Okay. Well, you know, the ceremony was kind of, it's kind of secretive or private in a certain way, too. But it was about binding and bonding the brothers and sisters of the East. One was done for strictly the brothers, and then one was done strictly for the sisters. And we all, well, according to the sisters, we did wear certain attire as well. I remember the red buba and lapa that we had to wear for the ceremony. I don't recall what the brothers had to do, but this ceremony or initiation, it was basically an initiation in the organization. Because the organization was being formed, the East organization itself was being formed, like in Newark with Amidi, with C-Fun and Milana's. So the East organization, we wanted to develop a strong core of unity amongst each other. And this is why my father was able to bring forth this initiation ceremony for the sisters and brothers. I found Brother G2 to be a very, very perceptive man, not just an academic genius and a dynamic powerhouse in organizing, but he had a love for young people that was really, really genuine. I would say that he did his life work, and he did it with passion, and he did it with a genuine spirit and love for young folks, for our youth, and, you know, and he wasn't about taking advantage or taking any of us for granted. Because, and this is why I feel that anybody who came through the East and helped out and was involved in the East with the school, they saw this within him, and they, whatever G2 said to, you know, he wanted them to do, they did. One of the brothers who was really a strong part of the East, Brother Robert, I remember he sent him to Tennessee to open up another school or a bookstore in Memphis, Tennessee. With my father, we were from Brownsville, Brooklyn, and we opened up a component of the Orisasa School for the high school on Rockaway Avenue in Brownsville. G2 wanted this. And Brother John Watusi Branch, he opened up the, it's the precursor now to the Orisasa, for the African Poetry Theater out in Queens.
Queens.
You know, so whatever was said or idea or concept that G2 wanted to develop or bring to fruition, and he's dealing with these adult men and women, and he asked them to do something, they did it, and they did it with love and full respect, because we knew that it was all for the greater good of our people. And I admired this strongly about Brother G2, that he was a genuine brother. You will find a whole lot of folks in the struggle who ain't real, who's just about talking, doing nothing, you know?
And got that right.
He was far from that. He was hands-on. He was positive. He was encouraging. He was an inspiration. And he was a true leader. And we miss him. I miss
him.
I want to throw in,
I just want to say, brother, because
any of this without his
brother,
wife,
I just
want to
say, because at that time there were many leaders in the community, but there was no one that had the sincerity of G2 Ayusi, and that's why we all was part of that organization under his leadership. And anybody he touched went on to do great things.
All right.
I want to.
All right,
so
Brother Raphael.
His wife. He couldn't do anything without his wife, Amenisha. You know,
that's right.
You know, Amenisha was his neck.
Yeah.
And when you look at leaders, like, he is on the level of like a Malcolm.
He was a Malcolm.
He was a Malcolm.
Yeah, right.
He wasn't on TV. He was in the street. He was in the community.
Yeah, he knew the community.
Right.
Now, a lot of leaders, okay, they have these organizations. Then you look at their children, and you say, wow, what happened? Look at G2's children. Right? You could name the accomplishments that they've gone on, you know, that they've gone on to lawyers, doctors, children.
Judges.
So
judges.
This, legends. You, his grandson was in the NBA playing ball. You know, so you was the coach in UK, University of Kentucky, the basketball players would know. He came to the funeral and he said, man, I didn't know your grandfather was this loved. We didn't know he was this big. So he's got that respectability and credibility of a Malcolm. He's our
All
Malcolm
right.
of the day.
Our shining prince.
I like that.
Our shining prince.
I like it. I like it. I like it. So we're going to, it's right at 3 o'clock, so we're going to go to the line. Yes, sir, Brother George.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a question before we went to the line.
Okay.
I would like one of y'all to give a definition. I heard Maliki explain it before, but why the name the East?
All knowledge comes from the East. The West didn't even know what was going on when we had high societies, you know, in sciences and everything. So all knowledge comes from the East. That's why we took the name the East.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. All knowledge comes from the East. So we're going to go to the lines now, and we'll start with 7841. And if you're not familiar with the show, we're going to call it the last four of your phone number if you have a question or comment. Today we're talking about Black History Month and the East, along with culture and education. And this is, to me, a great show because it's a foundation for what it is that we can do as a community to replicate some of the great things that Brother G2 and the crew has done for us. Here we go. 7-8.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Welcome to the show.
So I just want to, Ashe and Hotep.
Hotep, my sister.
Hotep.
You got a question or comment?
I want to say I'm so thankful. Just a comment. I'm so thankful to be listening to these people. I myself am from Brooklyn, New York. And these are
all
legends
right Brooklyn
here
in the house.
On this show right now. And Sister Malika, I've heard so much about you. You are a legend in my community. All of the brothers that are on the show. So
you guys
mentioned you too and said that he was like a Malcolm. Well, if he was like a Malcolm, you guys were like sitting up there right with him, okay? Because what you created with the East went on to influence not just Brooklyn, but Manhattan, Staten Island, Strong Island. You influenced the way we organized consciousness even in Harlem with First World, the First World Lecture Series and Forum.
Yes.
All right.
All of that. Yeah, you predated all of that. You created this sense of community and consciousness that led to us being able to embrace Doc Ben, Doc Clark, Tecate Diop.
Yes.
All right.
And that went on to influence a Black conscious movement throughout the world.
That's right.
Throughout the world.
The world.
You know, and so I'm just elated right now. I feel like I'm just on the phone with, like, the messages, you know? So,
yes.
That's amazing. I'm just grateful. So
thank you very much.
My name is Inubia.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you so much for
that. We appreciate you, sister.
Thank you.
Aluta Continua. The struggle continues.
Yes, sir. And I do want to make mention of, your brother asked how it was so successful, and the response I'm hearing is that there was a lot of inclusion, there were diverse institutions, and there was a lot of work. There was physical work.
Kazi.
Physical service.
Kazi.
You know what I mean? Where you guys went out and you talked. I mean, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, so there was never a time where we didn't celebrate, for example, Dr. King's Day. When I moved out of New York and people were talking about making it a holiday, I was confused. I was like, what do you mean making it a holiday? And I feel firm that the consciousness that the East created made it very easy because we not only did Dr. King Day, we did Black Solidarity Day. And
Malcolm,
when I went
Malcolm's
to college,
Memorial,
nobody else.
Malcolm's Memorial?
Malcolm's Memorial, exactly. When I went to college and other people didn't know about this, I was like, well, like, coming out of Brooklyn, it was a different world. I didn't realize how non-diverse the rest of America was, you know?
Wow.
And I attribute that ability to see the world the way I did to organizations like East. I couldn't have grown any other way. And so I'm forever grateful. No test.
Sante, Sante.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sister. All right. So Brother Raphael, let me come to you real quick before we go to the next call. I'm going to 9116 after this. Raphael, this sister just laid down the impact, right, of what the East did and what that looked like all over the Metro New York, I want to say.
How in the world.
For you as a, and the world. How for you as a young person, what did it make you feel like? Did it empower you? What did it do as a youth to be a part of that at that time?
Well, you really didn't know. You were just doing. You know what I mean? You weren't, you know, you weren't conscious of the impact you were making. You were just doing it. You know, now that I sit back, that's why I'd love to listen to Maliki and Malika, because I'm saying, wow, that happened. Yeah. Because when you're in the middle of it, like Che Guevara said, Fidel Castro said, look, I'm not doing this to write a diary. And he was talking about Che Guevara's diary. Che Guevara was writing down everything that was happening. Fidel wasn't doing that. We weren't making a diary. We were laying down an impact. And as the sister said, when you left,
yeah.
when you leave Brooklyn, you're like, whoa, what's happening? Like Dr. Ben and Dr. Simmons were one of the first speakers at our Saturday teaching.
The lecture series.
Van Sertima, the Young Lords, all of these.
Queen Mother Moore.
All of these people. So I'm thinking that people know about these things. I'm thinking that everybody knows that there are black people in South America. There are black people in the Caribbean. There are black people in Europe. There are black people in Africa. So and we were exposed to all of this. Then we had one brother from Tanzania who used to work with us, Ahmed Mnedi. Remember him? He used to be at the front door, Mnedi.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And we were being taught by Umfariji Aponte to speak Swahili, and he used to take us to the embassies. He used to take us to the embassies, and the people were blown away because they said, "Well, what part of Tanzania or Kenya are you guys from?" And I said, "No, we're from Brooklyn." And they said, "No. Y'all speak too. Your Swahili is too good."
Wow.
Your Swahili is too. It wasn't Tom Mboya. There was an ambassador from Kenya who came in, who was putting in some citizenship for us, and we met him at the airport. And he was just so excited about the East. Because he'd heard about his black folks learning Swahili. You know,
see, brother, one of the main things was that once you got involved, you found out that you had the power to do anything possible. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Once you could get out on the corner, sell newspapers, you could take care of the building, you could go and demonstrate. You were like, hey, look, if something ain't right, man, let's go take care of it. You see what I'm saying? We didn't sit back
right. Because
now we understood the power of unity and the power of organizing, you see, on a very basic level. And now it could expand. We could talk to the brothers and sisters in South Africa. We was in Guyana. Guyana even gave us some land. We was over there working the land. So, brother, once the fire is lit, and someone comes to you and show you the light, like a G2 Ayusi, who has one of the greatest hearts in the world for young people. He always was so clear, if anything is going to happen in this world, it's got to be young people. And that's what he gave us. And when we got those responsibilities, now we could change the world.
All right. Let's take another call. We're going to 5972. 5972, you're on live. We're talking about culture in the East. And if you want to get involved with the conversation, 845-277-9250. 5972, you're live on the Empowerment Hour. And we're talking about culture and education of the East. You got a question or comment for the brothers or sister?
All right. Hold up, my brothers and sister.
Dr. Bruce.
Brother Bruce Bridges.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm enjoying the program. Been on for about 35, 40 minutes, and you caught me off guard because you had said you were going to go to 9116 after you got off that. You switched up on me. Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm listening now. I heard you say, I'm going to 9116 after the Brother Raphael talks. But to those who might not know who I am, like Brother Raphael and Sister Malika there, my name is Bruce Bridges. I'm from Durham, North Carolina. And I called three or four people and had them to tune into the program because it reminded me so much of what we were trying to do in Durham, North Carolina with the No Bookstore. And it made me think about the fact that during the time there were culture centers kind of, I don't know about around the country, but I know you had the East in New York, and then there was the UAM in Eastern Brooklyn, but you had the UAM over in with Brother Alton Maddox with the United African Movement.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, one difference I noticed when I was thinking about what you all were doing, you all were in probably the best location in the country to do what you were doing. Now, at the No Bookstore, what we were doing was pretty much some very similar things. But now, let's look at it geographically here. You got New York, which is an international city. You got people coming in from everywhere. You got Dr. Ben, John Henry Clark, who live there. You got people from Tanzania, you know, but down in the South where we were trying to do it, we got Negroes in the city of Durham who were hung up on color, hung up on class. If you didn't go to church, something was wrong with you. If you said something about the church that wasn't what they agreed with, so we had a hard time trying to do some things. At the No Bookstore in Durham, but we did have jazz on Friday night, jazz club, restaurant, bookstore. We celebrated Malcolm's birthday. We had the first Kwanzaa in Durham. We also celebrated the first program in tribute to Bob Marley when he passed, when nobody had heard about reggae. I wrote and directed a program for the local radio station about Bob Marley. You see, so we were doing quite a few things too. But New York, what you were doing was definitely good, no question about it. But I just want to let you know that there were some other places around the country that were doing some similar kinds of things. But y'all had a good international. New York is international. Oh, man, y'all were in the right spot to do it. It was hard. It's hard in the South.
Brother, let me tell you, I'd like to get some of y'all to respond to that, too.
I want to respond to that.
I've been in the South. I've been in like six states, lived in six states in the South.
What six?
Since 86. I opened the first Kwanzaa in Atlanta. Here's what I have found.
Huh?
So many times we get so holy that we overlook our roots. We overlook our churches. Y'all are nothing but some pork chop preachers, and we ain't going to deal with you. What happens, and then in return, we're not going to deal with you, and they're not going to deal with us. But what
That's
happens
right.
when you have that love for your people, and you ain't afraid to go to church and talk with the members in the church and say, hey, what about singing in Kozi Siki Lele, the South African? They'll do it. But if you go in there with stuff that they're not, like people say, like some people get on me, why you say God bless? Why don't you say Ashe? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Come on now. And what happens is the cow eater practices, as I said, was stuff we were doing before, working with your neighbor, love one another. It's the same thing in a different language. But if strange, you know, you come in with strange stuff. I say, oh, God bless you, brother. I used to get in a lot of trouble because I didn't know Southern culture. Because we think, oh, we all black people, our parents from the South. So the things have changed. So you got to come in there. Like my former wife got the whole church. She was from Nigeria. Got the whole church to wear African garb every fourth Sunday. Every fourth Sunday, everybody is dressed in African clothing.
That was good.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right. I know our time is running out, too. I don't want to go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, before we let you go, Dr. Bruce will be with us next week to continue our series on recapturing the African mind. You join us next week from 2 o'clock on to 3:30 like we're doing an hour and a half show today. So, Dr. Bruce, thank you. And again,
Brother Maliki, be sure to tune in again next week. I'll be back on. And I'd like to ask Brother Raphael one quick question. Had he ever heard about any of the things that were going on in Durham, North Carolina?
Your brother, Look, take my number, get my number, and we'll talk offline. Because there's so much we can do.
I'll get it from Brother Marvin then, because he has it, right?
Please.
Right, Brother Marvin?
Yes, sir.
Please.
Yes, sir. If
all
you want
of
to
the
get
people
the book
from New York are moving to the Carolinas.
Okay, good. And if anybody who wants to get my book for next week discussion, you can give me a call at area code 919-956-5972. Show is just not long enough today, Brother Marvin. I got some other things I'd like to say, but we just don't have much time. I'm still listening. Go right ahead.
Well, we're going to get to some more callers. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. And, again, if you want to get that book, Recapturing the African of Mind, our online classroom, we're learning together. It's 919-956-5972. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. We're going over to 9770. You're on live. If you have a question or comment, welcome to the show.
Hotem to everyone.
Hey, sister.
This is Wahida. I'm from Maryland. I'm one of the people that Dr. Bruce had called to let me know that there's a really good, interesting program going on right now. You better listen. So I called him right away. But as a matter of fact, I'm sitting in Brooklyn right now. Okay.
All right, now, Brooklyn in the house.
Yeah, came in yesterday, so I'm in Brooklyn. But the comment that I have is on those people who had mentioned, the idea of diversity and inclusion. And it's always better to me to try and include people instead of exclude them because you have some differences, because you don't know what influence you can have to, change their mind on certain things. You learn from them and they learn from you.
It's always a process. It's a process.
Right, it's a process. And
we all started somewhere. We all started somewhere.
Well, yeah, and everybody didn't get the same message at the same time. But, we're all going in the same direction.
That's right.
So that's just my comment. I find that the program today is very interesting and very inspiring. And those things that we know we've done in the past, that tells us we know we can do in the future.
All right.
Thank you, sister. Man, this show is really inspiring. You're inspiring. You are inspiring, brothers. It's never too late to get on board. 1-295-1295. You're live on with Brother Maliki, Sister Malika, and Brother Raphael. Do you have a question or comment?
I do. Question and comment. Peace, family. My name is Khalil Shabazz. Peace, Brother Marvin. This is a great show. I'm glad I'm not at my normal thing today, so I should catch some of this. I know I'm going to – let me try to quickly get it out to you guys in response. I know Marvin running short on time. But I just want to, first of all, thank you all for sharing the work, great work that you've been doing, and I know you're continuing to do. So one of the comments was about the trouble or the perfect place – not perfect, but just paraphrasing, in terms of New York to be able to do this. I was thinking about that. There's also probably a lot of unique challenges in New York because some of the things that or people that came together were so strong in their position that was really challenging. And that's what I want to ask. I want to ask two things. I want to ask how, because it's something that's been on my mind, and I've been talking to some of the brothers that I talked to on how to achieve what you guys have achieved in this time period, because we know that time period, the 60s and the 70s, people were just in a whole different mindset. Our people were just so much more wholesome, if you will. But you spoke of the organization of the people that came together. We come from the churches. We come from places like the Nation of Islam. you come from so many different organizations, and you guys were able to blend that. And I heard also, one of the key factors, it takes that beautiful heart of, I hope I'm speaking properly, G2, that was a cementing part of doing that. So please share some of the experiences and how you guys were able to bring people really from so diverse, when you're talking about the churches and nations, some African holistic, cultures together to bring their characteristics to help share with the process. And the other question is, are you still going on? And if you are, and I hope you are, how are you dealing with the youth of today and getting them to be able to get on board with their great qualities and creativity and new vision of how we can move forward?
I just want to say,
first of all, brother, had many challenges, but we realized that the power was in the people's hands. So long as we could organize and we had the masses of the people, we could change anything. Secondly, with the young people today, we must, every young person, every family, every young person in the family must get that book in their hands, Malcolm X on Afro-American History. Because once we understand where we came from and what's happening, now we know what we got to do to move forward. So the history is very important. And go into your neighbors, the churches, as we continue to say, and make contact and connect with these people to organize around anything. If the water don't taste right, let's organize around the water. The garbage cans, there's too much garbage out
here. All right.
Let's organize around the garbage. All of those necessities. And brother, we had everything that people needed. We had the health food store. We had the music. You understand what I'm saying? We had the thing. We had a newspaper. We had a communications organ. So these were things that people needed to stay in contact with each other to exist. Once we create those things and continue to do them, that will keep the progress moving forward.
All right.
I'd like to
thank
say
you, brother. Let's take
what we had on our side was youth and naivety. We didn't know any better. We didn't know we weren't supposed to do this or couldn't do this. So that's it. And at that time, people were like kind of unformed. People hadn't gone into the Nation of Islam. People hadn't gone into the Orishas. People hadn't gone into the Hebrew. Most of the people that came out of that circle, we can find them. This is why the street festival, the International African Arts Festival, is so big, because most of the people, no matter what they're into, had their origins in the East. You know what I mean? They knew people. Am I still on?
Wow.
You're on.
Yes,
oh, yeah. Yeah. Secondly, I've been working. I came out and went into education. I've been in education 50 years. And one of the things that I find that's my hardest thing is talking to the people my age who were conscious at that time, because they still believe that the 16-year-old is the same 16-year-old that they were. You know what I mean? I'm saying, no, you got to, like, the students would bring me their music. They'd come in with their iPad. I'd say, oh, what you listening to? Oh, I listen to jazz. Oh, well, let me hear it on your iPad. Oh, well, I know they're not listening to jazz. I said, well, what you listening to? They listen to this. I said, let me hear it. Well, it's got cursing. Well, I curse. So you establish a rapport with them. So you're not, well, y'all ain't listening to no music. We listen to music. We listen to Train and so on, so on, so on. Then we hear that.
Let me say this real quick, brother.
All right. I want to get to one more call before we get out of here.
I'm so grateful.
Go ahead, sir.
I'm so grateful for being a part of this organization and a founder of it, because it did great things for me, brother. As a result of being at the East and learning sound, I became an audio engineer, and I became an audio engineer at ABC Network Television, working on 2020, Nightline, All My Children, Good Morning America. You name it, I worked on the show, brother. And we understood that if the East, what we were learning was real, we could take it anywhere, and I took it.
Tell them about the motion picture you worked on. Tell them, you know, tell them
okay.
Let me get to the call.
1471. I'm trying to get a couple more calls in 1471. You're on live. Question or comment. Welcome to the show. 1471. Going once. Going twice. I'm going over to 0093. 0093. You are on live. Do you have a question or comment? All right. I'm going back to 7841. 7841, you are on live. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Hotep. This is Inubia again. Again, thrilled to be on here. Just loving the energy that's being. You guys just sound like uncles and aunts somewhere in Brooklyn where we can talk all night. I just wanted to say two quick things, really, for real, real talk. Two quick things. One thing, young people, every major revolution ever had on the planet happened with young people because
their brains
are not solidified yet. They have not subscribed to anything that will hold them accountable to any malice or any non-functioning or toxic concept because their brain is still developing. And so if you're going to move the world, it has to be with young people. It has to be with a malleable mind. Absolutely. And then the other thing is, someone asked me recently about the East, right? And I was like, the East, that sounds familiar. What do you mean the East? What do you mean the East? And I said, you're not talking about the Metamorpho, right? You're not talking about the Shaka Mishaka. I'm not talking about the Asa Lockin, right? Because what I couldn't figure out, because what I realized now is what I was being asked about was just Brooklyn's culture, the culture that I grew up in.
That's right.
We didn't, you know what we call the East in particular? I mean, the kids, I was young. The East was the festival at Boys and Girls.
That annual
festival is what we call it, the East. Everything else is just a part of our culture. The bookstore, the health food, the newspaper, it was just a part of our culture. So it reminds me sort of a time in history, the parents and civilizations, the Kemet and all, where the concept of that spiritual belief system was not separated out, so there wasn't a name for a religion.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? And that's what the East did. There was no name for the type of cultural foundation that you guys created and that grew into all of these different branches, all of these different twigs. And, I mean, these seeds flew around the world.
It was just called the East.
Around the world. It was just the East. Exactly. It was just the East.
That's right. Go down to the East.
All right.
You got to go down to the East.
Well, thank you, sister, for calling, and we got to wrap it up. I appreciate you, Hotep. All right, Raphael, Sister Malika,
yes,
and Maliki, thank you so much for joining us today. Great show, great information, and you all have created a lasting legacy. And the information that you shared today will be a catalyst for change in our community. So I want to thank you all for joining us. And again, you're always welcome back to the show. Join us next week for Dr. Bruce's show on recapturing the African mind. We had an online classroom where we're educating ourselves, and continue to join us then. So
Thank you for having us, brother.
Thank you. And I want to thank Maliki and Malika because they're opening my mind up because these things I forgot. And Malika's on television.
Right.
Her father's on television. That, I mean, it's like, what?
Okay.
All right. So, again, thank you so much for joining us. And, again, we're on every Saturday, 2 p.m. It's African-American empowerment at its best. It's culture. It's education. It's politics. It's athletics, which is health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, and it's a comprehensive education like you got today. Join us next week, 2 p.m. Eastern, and don't forget to invite a friend, 845-277-9250. And we're online if you want to know about the African American Empowerment Association, www.theempowerment.weebly.com.
Peace and blessing. Peace and blessing.
Peace and blessing.
Thank you. Peace and blessings. All I can say is, oh, yeah. Oh, 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 yeah. Join us.